Want to welcome all of our visitors, staff, city council. Thank you all so much for being here tonight for our October 28th meeting. It's 5:33, so I'll go ahead and open this up tonight. But I just wanted to welcome everybody and thank you all for being here. 5:33 meeting is now in session. All right, the first item on the agenda is our invocation, and I've asked Councilman Russell if he wouldn't mind leading us in our prayer tonight. Councilman Russell.
Thank you. Let us all pray. Father Lord, please come join us in this room. Join everyone in America. Touch our hearts. This is a difficult time with all the politics that's going on. Help ease our minds, ease our hearts. Let things be not violent over this political issue. Help us with our things that we're dealing with here tonight at the council. Help us with the right decisions to make sure we vote the way the citizens would like us to vote. And of course, we're getting into the Thanksgiving time. Let us all be thankful for you, for everything you do for us, for this country that you've given us, this state and this city. We have so many things to be thankful for, and we want to make sure you understand that we are thankful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. All right, next is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able, please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. At this time, we would like to invite citizens to address the council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except for any public hearings that are included on the agenda. These are handled separately. Comments that are related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11, and the timer is on the screen behind us up here on the TV. Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. And when you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and your address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item number before beginning your comments. Thank you so much for your cooperation and understanding. I'd like to open the podium now for anybody who'd like to address council. Okay, there being no one for public comment, we'll move on to item number four. These are our individual items for discussion, consideration, and action. The first item is a discussion and consider action on options for drainage improvements from the Brockwood Drive drainage study prepared by STV Incorporated. Could I get a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments on number four, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The city has received several complaints from the property owner at 325 Brookwood regarding flooding from the adjacent stream. In response, the city has budgeted for a study and design to determine the causes of the flooding and to explore potential solutions. STV Inc., the consulting engineer, has prepared a memorandum summarizing their findings and outlining various design options. The city is seeking guidance from the council on how they would like to proceed with this project. They've given us a few options. It's on page 4 through 11. There's some pretty informative topographical maps and water flow maps based on their findings. And I believe, John, do we have somebody from STV? Hello, sir. Our representative here is available if you have any questions outside of the material that's been provided.
All right. Mr. Manager, thank you.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Norman, if you have anything additional you'd like to add at any time, I'm just...
Okay.
So this amount is budgeted for this project, so we've got that money already set aside for this project.
Yes, sir. $100,000 was budgeted, and the three options...
These are a little bit more than that.
Three options are 68,880, $158,366, and the top end is $256,952. And in the very beginning, when the previous administration was here, this was just coming over the desk, and it had been budgeted, but we didn't have the study until very late in his tenure with us.
Mm-hmm.
These were produced recently, and again, just kind of like we've done in other projects, we wanted to come back and see what the council wanted to do, or a couple of them are going to be over budget, but if you think it's better to allocate other additional funds and do a bigger project or scale it down, that's why we wanted our representative here to help us answer some of those questions or guide the council through this.
Well, I had a chance to read through this, and I'll let the other council members give their thoughts, but I think since we only budgeted $100,000, I'm inclined to ask staff to negotiate any of these down to the $100,000 rate so we don't go over.
I would love to hear just the effectiveness of each option. I hear, you know, option A, it looks like that really directly meets the need, but the other two, are they just Band-Aids, or could they really help make a difference?
Well, with drainage, there is no, I would never say there's a 100% solution. You know, I mean, what you used to consider a certain level storm in the past, it seems like in recent years, that storm is now here every year. So I always caveat everything with there is no 100% solution. All we can work to do as a city or as an engineer is to kind of reduce the frequency of that happening. Mm-hmm. So much like everything, I mean, the more you spend, the greater the reduction is in this case. So you know, the main finding we found when looking at this is that there's just so much water that comes down that channel that's over there on the, you know, kind of the south side of the nexus of the two streets, Brookwood and Timberview, that the culvert was put in sometime in the past. It was probably sized okay for the time, but you know, it was probably a different era when people designed storm drainage for what we would consider to be like the 2-year storm or the 5-year storm. Well, you know, now cities and methodologies have kind of adapted with the time. Now you're looking at the 25-year, the 100-year storm, much, much higher amounts than what was considered. So what we found was that culvert is severely undersized. Mm-hmm. And on the large scale storms, it's a huge contributor to the amount of water that ends up getting put into Brookwood. So that big number goes into taking care of that culvert and the inlets around it to capture more water and let more water stay in the channel than what is currently going down Brookwood. Going to the opposite side, the lower end side, what we found was that, you know, the driver approach for the property doesn't go up 6 inches like most driver approaches do. A house, a residence, or any structure that, number one, is below the gutter, the curb line, the top of the curb line, that's always a problem for anybody. I mean, that means, you know, most cities, you're looking at keeping the water in the right-of-way and taking care of the public water, but, you know, when a house is below grade, and believe you me, I lived in Woodway. I lived over at IVN. My house was below the top of curb, so I was very familiar with that. Luckily, I was at the top of the hill, so I didn't have any drainage problems, but when you have that, there's always the situation with the drive itself being a major contributor. This one doesn't go up very high. It goes up about halfways. So right there, what we found was that more water has the ability to get out of the right-of-way, to get onto the property than what would be, you know, preferred. So that was our low end, was let's fix their drives so that on the more frequent storms, the one that dump that the one that you see more often, we can help reduce the frequency of those input in the property by but sacrificing on the high end that, hey, when the big storm comes, it is what it is. We're helping it somewhat.
So is fixing the driveway, does that only impact the residents in question?
Yes.
Whereas the other one would likely impact in a positive way other homes nearby?
It doesn't. I mean, really, it's the house that's on the east side there that's the worst one. I mean, once the water starts going farther down Brookwood, you pick up slope. So when you pick up slope, you pick up capacity, and at that point, you're getting way more capacity, so you don't see a frequency of flooding. However, on the big storm events, yes, those houses, you know, a lot may run off at the first one, but anything that bypasses, it's going to affect number two, number three. Our study didn't go into like how many houses it affected, but surely to that point, when you do the big fix, it would help any potential people that live farther down Brookwood that could be subject to any runoff that was in the street or right away.
Okay. And does option two address those?
Option two?
Option two was just the driveway.
Yes, yes.
Option three
was, it was kind of a combination of, we're still not fixing the culvert, we're fixing the drive, but we're helping reduce that frequency even more. By once you fix the drive, you're going to tear up part of the street a little bit, so you can put a slot drain in, which are it's a very narrow slot that drops into a pipe, and they're really good at picking up stormwater that's running off. And what it is, it would be kind of a medium fix to help reduce the potential for that lot only even more.
Okay.
Is what it would be.
Councilman, you're talking about the one for
158-366 would be option three.
That's like the best, the most inclusive one, I guess.
Well, I think one is the most inclusive, but he's saying three.
Yeah.
Three is, one would be the most inclusive to help the most people. Two is, let's help the property owner that's affected, and let's try to reduce the frequency of the storms that happen more frequency but have a less amount of runoff. And then number three is kind of a medium range, like let's help that property owner, but let's increase the help that we're doing to reduce that frequency of flooding even more.
You mentioned that you raised the 3.25 inches to make sure the drain. The problems is, of course, on these oil pan houses.
Yes.
Is the high center.
Yes.
So you would go back.
We'd have to go back down the property to.
And their property.
Onto the property to such that the car doesn't bottom out or a truck doesn't bottom out as you're getting over this quote unquote hump that you would now have afterwards. So you're exactly right. In option two, it's not just rebuilding the drive, but it's also going back onto their property to rebuild some of that approach up to the drive.
Fixing what the builder did not do right whenever they built the house. That's the difficult part.
Yeah. It's just, we're trying to keep more water in the right of way. Mm-hmm. Any way that we can. Mm-hmm. That's what you would be doing. Mm-hmm.
Sir, just for the record, if we could get your name.
Oh, sure. I'm David Mark. I live at 115 Bold Springs Court, West Texas, 76691, and I've worked at, we were multiple names before STV, but
work.
Yeah, I've been here for 30. I've only been here for 31 years, so.
And you're in the city of West.
I'm actually in the county.
County.
I'm in the county. It's West. My address is West Texas, but I actually live outside of West in the county.
Okay.
Any questions for Mr. Merrick? All right, sir. If you want to take a seat, we may have another question. So don't go too far.
I'm just going right here.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. right, so council, I think staff is asking for us to give them direction on these projects here. So on these estimates here, so we've got one for $158,366. That's option three. Option two is for $68,880, and then the first one is for $256,952. So.
I'd like to ask him a question.
Sure, of course.
And this will show my stupidity, okay? That's just a thought.
I told you not to go too far. Yeah.
If we went with the $68,000, the lower cost one, to start with, and we found that we needed to do more than that,
you could always come back.
We can go back without it being like, we've made a big mistake by not doing the whole thing at the same time.
Right, right. I mean, anything, all of these are different options that could, in a sense, they could be done in conjunction with each other or not. It's just different ways of trying to see how can we stretch dollars to get some relief with different levels of comfort for city and homeowners. So, to your point, you could rebuild the driveway now, and then if down the road, if Brookwood's getting rebuilt or repaved or something, that's when you could include something like that in it to do a better, a bang for your buck type deal.
You mentioned the question, you used the phrase stretch the dollars, and of course that's what we're looking at. And sometimes in trying to save money, you end up spending money in the long run. Are we looking at that kind of situation?
Is this a Band-Aid? Mm-hmm. Is number two a Band-Aid?
Number two, if you want to use the term Band-Aid, yes, but it goes into... If we have the ability to help the homeowner out on a more frequent storm that happens, I think still there is great value in that. If I am affected by something once every 5 years versus once every 6 months, I might feel pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. And it allows staff and cities to look long-term into looking at more long-term solutions that will help more people budget-wise and being able to put that into more of a long-term CIP. And we've helped an immediate need. We've reduced an immediate problem, but now we can look at a bigger fix and more of a long-term planning thing, because those storms happen less frequently. So I don't think it's money. I wouldn't have put it in there if I thought it wasn't a worthwhile suggestion to help this solution, this problem.
Do you see any scenario where the existing culvert, if we were to leave it as is there a scenario where there would be even added stress to it?
No, the watershed that goes into it's obviously pretty large. I mean, it's 50 acres or whatever it was. Everything's built out. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you're building, you've got a whole bunch of undeveloped land in there that at some point in the future, Bob Smith comes in and develops everything in a quarter acre lots and we're dumping more water down there. Everything's built out. Yeah. The only thing that, of course, changes over time becomes methodology. And what you used to see, the amount of rainfall, which was considered a 100-year storm, was, 8 inches an hour. Well, when they go through and they redo stuff and recalibrate these models that are all theoretical, now that's like 10 or 11 inches of hour. So, we're a little subject to the climate. I see that being a change more than anything else. And that's just something we all live with as cities and municipalities and engineers. But the watershed's built out, so it's not going to change appreciably very much, even with the change in
So did you all take a look at the, I know you modeled out the hydrology of it. You looked at all the contour lines and all that. Did you think about, because of the situation we've been going through here in the last couple of years, the stress that's been put on trees and whether or not those trees are going to still be standing, and if they fall, how that's going to impact the hydrology?
We didn't, John. I hear you. Obviously, it's a very wooded watershed. Anything that falls upstream is likely to get carried down and plug that culvert. And the way it's designed, any reduction in the drainage that's getting into that culvert just goes over the street and down the street and affects everybody else. But we didn't get into any sort of.
Since the projects are not necessarily tied one to the other, if we went with the $68,000 project, and my mother used to say, throwing good money after bad, we're not doing that because whatever we do, we would actually still have effective utilization of what we've done in the future.
Correct.
We would be building on that.
Correct.
You have to tear out everything.
No,
you put in.
No, no.
Okay, that's what I thought you were saying, but
yes.
I just wanted to make sure.
Absolutely.
Mr. Merrick, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
On options 2 and 3, dealing with reconstructing the driveway, do you know how much of that goes outside the city's right-of-way?
I'd have to go back and look exactly how much we estimated. To be honest, David, I just don't have it off the top of my head. I'd have to come back and let you know. Obviously, you'd have to get some kind of construction easement or something with them to do that, but I don't know what that distance is off the top of my head.
Okay. And that's not factored into, if the city had to condemn part of that property or do anything like that, that's not factored into those prices on 2 and 3?
No.
And then do you know whether doing any kind of work on that driveway, what effect that would have on either runoff for the neighboring rest of the street or for neighboring properties?
The work on, like I said, where those drives are, it's really flat. And then kind of once you get past them around to the front of the house, it really picks up. So you would be keeping more water in the street, but you've got really good capacity going downwards. So we didn't look at, if we keep 8 more CFS in the street, are we going to screw something up downstream? And I'll leave it at that because we didn't look at that. I wouldn't expect that to be an issue, but we didn't check it.
Okay. I guess the corollary to that would be, would work done to that driveway alleviate strain in flooding, times of flooding on neighboring properties? In other words, it wouldn't hurt, but would it help?
I think it's really going to help that property owner. I don't know that it necessarily truly helps anybody else.
Are those things, David, that we need to know before we vote on this?
Yes, and I'm looking at this in real time. But really the direction the city's looking at now is Adam, do I understand that this would be going out for bid once an option's picked? The next step would be to put it out for bid.
Yes, sir.
So this isn't work that the city's going to do itself, and so the council's not going to decide tonight what to do and how much it's going to cost. It would have to come back to you, you know, after the bid process takes place. So all you're doing right now is selecting a path forward. There may be some things I need to look at in light of what we just discussed, but that's really all that's on the council's plate for right now.
But I am concerned what you were talking about, the part that's on their property, you know, that does open up a new can of worms. And if we can deal with the city part of it first would be ideal. And then if we need to do something else, we have to look at it. Because once you start messing with that driveway, you might have to go a good ways in to make sure you're not dragging a car going in. So that could change things.
That's right, and there are a couple other things I'm thinking of that we may, again, we have time to come back and touch on those in the future, but I don't think there should be anything to concern with right this moment.
Well, Council, maybe what I'll suggest then is when we make the when we go to make a motion, maybe we just suggest for staff to move forward, but not to exceed the budgeted amount that we have for it. That way, that gives them enough leeway.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. That way, that gives them enough leeway to do their work, and then in conjunction with the council, you can pick the best way
give
forward.
Give us a little for overage.
But what I'm hearing, exactly. What I'm hearing is I don't think anybody wants to go over the, unless I'm mishearing, I don't think anybody wants to go over the budgeted amount, so.
Do you want to make the motion so it's worded properly?
Yeah.
I'll be glad to second it.
All right. Is there any further discussion, council? Is everybody good with that? Okay. Council, I'd like to move that we authorize improvements for the Brookwood Drive drainage study prepared by STV and authorize the city manager to move forward and select a plan that does not exceed the total budgeted amount of $100,000.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, council.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. Have a good
evening.
Appreciate it. Item number five is discussion and consider action on social media and newsletter management. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
All second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number five, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Again, as we stated at the last meeting, that we really couldn't discuss it, but I wanted to have handouts for everybody so everyone had plenty of time to see the options that we've been given. Again, the background on this item is with the previous administration, Council requested that staff pursue a social media management company to streamline social media content and potential newsletter distribution for the city. Staff are seeking guidance of the original intent and wishes of the council for this budgeted item, for which we do have budgeted $25,000.
Yep. Great, thank you. I think I remember when we were discussing this, we wanted to beef up our communication efforts in the community. And I think we were trying to find a balance of having almost like a public information officer, you know, to relay
combination marketing officer.
Ma'am?
Combination marketing.
Yes.
Information officer.
Yes.
Combination
yes.
Marketing.
Yes, exactly. thank you, Councilwoman Gilman. That's exactly right. And so we were talking about either hiring somebody full time or contracting it out, and now we decided to budget it just for a contract. So that's where I'm at here.
Mayor, sorry to interrupt you. Just all of everybody is on the same track. The president of Seat House, Kathy Davis, she is here with us tonight. So staff is not able to address with you, she's available for any kind of additional
great
comment or clarification.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Now, our budget is $25,000 a year, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now,
so it doesn't go very far.
Huh?
It doesn't go very far.
I know. I'm looking at the numbers here, and I'm
not
going,
at all. Yeah.
How is this going to work? Because it's $3,000 a month for social media management.
Yeah.
And what
I think we're going to have to We're going to have to pick and choose.
And what we discussed when we met with Ms. Davis previously, with Ms. Rogers present as well, because so much of the push out on social media, since it comes from different departments, to include Pavilion and Arboretum, which mm-hmm. is all used our hot funds.
Mm-hmm.
What's budgeted here is a general fund item, so mm-hmm. technically, if you decided later on you guys wanted other options, but there's not enough in the budget, we could do an amendment and draw from our tourism fund to cover that end, depending on what the wishes of council are, just to give you an idea of where we could pool from.
Yep.
If you wanted to change things, that's not in the plan.
Is there a plan that is $25,000 a year plan?
We did not create a budget specifically at $25,000. We certainly could, but when we were working with the city and just kind of discussing the options, what we put together is our recommendation for a plan that would cover all of the things that we discussed, which is all of the social media channels. We also talked about newsletter. So we basically put together a zero-based budget to present, and then, you know, whatever you approve or whatever the city recommends is kind of a separate discussion from what we had. Certainly, we could put together a $25,000 budget, but it wouldn't include all of the things that are in this one, of course.
If a newsletter was $2,000 a month, that one newsletter eats up the whole budget.
Well, it says $27.50 per newsletter.
I was making the numbers easy.
Yeah, easy. I understand.
But
yeah.
that's correct in the way we would do it. So, I think again, it's been a while since we talked about this, but I think the staff currently handle all of our social media, right?
We do. Different individuals. Yeah, in different departments. They're tasked with getting certain information and content out, and we tried to make it uniform and try to streamline it. But because this was a wish of the council in a previous administration, even though we think we're doing a pretty good job, the wishes of the council. So that is why we are back here again. But I would add, it's not in your background, when Jennifer and I were discussing everything after we met with Ms. Davis, specifically on the newsletter. So right now we send out a trifold hard copy mailer, which a lot of people like. We don't know how upset folks would be if we went to an email or an e-newsletter, but the idea was other cities that do that, they're able to put, because we're very limited in the content we can put in, because we're charged by, is it the page or is it the word count?
Page.
So we get everything that we think we can, that will be most interesting to the broadest amount of people out here, but it really could be so much more robust. It could have, there's really no limit to how long it could be, and it could have links and other informative things, more interactive. But if you know, it's like in some other cities I've worked where you can pay your water bill on your phone or online, and people would still drive down to pay the water bill because that's how they've always done it. They like doing it. The majority of the people that receive the newsletter just by golly want a hard copy, then I get it. I still have a hard copy newspaper I subscribe to, but again, if we're wanting to put as much out there for all the different reasons that we've gone over, that would be a way to cut, again, if you're looking at what we budget for that print newsletter, if some of those funds were reallocated into whatever this program becomes.
Yep.
I think there's another way to pull a lever without busting the budget. You're changing the deliverable, in other words. So just something to think about. That was too much to try to squeeze into your background.
Did you
line.
Have something there for a time? Did
just
you want to ask
conversation?
Something? Were you going to ask something?
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the benefits I would think would be real-time information, especially with the newsletter, because my wife has commented a couple of times, but that date's already passed.
Yeah.
And so...
Okay.
And it's harder when you got a hard copy
mailing it out versus live email.
The speed of
the information dissemination is a lot more real time, if you will.
Absolutely. I mean, there's certainly a date when they have to get it to the printer to be able to get it printed and distributed, and then the mail system itself. Whereas this, you know, as soon as it was ready, it could drop
email
instantaneously
out.
And email out to everyone.
Well, we definitely would have those that would push back on it, but the other side, and it's cost versus benefit, we're moving into the
digital age,
the digital century, if you will.
No more newspaper.
And I think it speaks well for Woodway that we're moving into the future, and it'll be important to accommodate the people that are not happy with it, make sure we've got their email address or whatever they need to have.
I'd like that.
You know, and work the extra time and I will say money, but time that is necessary to get everybody on board.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like numbers, and I figure out if we do every other month still, which I think every month, like you was talking about, would be best, but just every other month, the way this is set up, it'd be $54,000. We budgeted 25, we'd need to pull 30 from the other fund if we was to go with the full bore on this, but that's not including doing another 6 months of newsletters, but just to give you some ideas and numbers.
I think
Jennifer, don't let me put you on the spot. Offhand, do you recall the figure for the newsletter printout, how much that budget is?
Yes.
So currently we have budgeted $15,000 for our printed newsletter. Mm-hmm. So that's not included in the $25,000 that you're seeing for contract labor, mm-hmm. which is what we would have Seed House Creative do. Mm-hmm. And the proposal that they've sent us would be about $15,000. So we do have the budget to do the digital newsletter. Mm-hmm. But I'd also like Ms. Davis to share her ideas of how we could accommodate those that would also like a printed newsletter, because that's included in there. You can have the option of which one. So you don't have to just go digital, but it would be a great way, like you said, to have real-time information, especially with a lot of our events. And we would love to include, you can include videos, links, and it can be a lot longer and more information. And so there's neighboring cities who do this. And we've been sent that information, and it's just going to be, it'll be very beneficial if you want to speak to that.
You can also tie in with the senior center that Jimmy's doing a real good job on sending out all the information on that. Suddenly we could expand on that part.
Right. And so one of the ideas that we liked was the programming that we're offering at the Family Center and at Whitehall right now. It's done monthly, but we could be pushing that out more instead of having it printed. Also, the cost of papers goes up every time that I do the newsletter. Yeah. So that cost just keeps rising. So that is another problem, too.
Do you have experience with them having the choice of whether they wanted email or paper? Because to me, that could be really messy because of dates and because, well, my thing says that it's 9 o'clock on Friday. Well, you need to go on and look online and this kind of thing.
Yes, we have several clients that we have worked with them to develop an email newsletter when they were doing a printed version before. And what we've done with those is to decide if we're going to start with, is everyone going to get the email newsletter and then they have to opt in to a printed version, or do they get the choice right off the bat? And that just kind of depends on, you know, which way you want to go. But I feel like from a success standpoint that we've seen the most success with people saying, we are going to do an email newsletter, and if you want to opt in, this is the step. And then we continue to ask them on a regular basis so that they can see the email newsletter, because there really are a lot of advantages. There's analytics that we can see who opened it, how long, what stories that they were looking at, which just helps inform content in the future. And then also you can, you know, the timely factor that we talked about, you can include so much more timely information because you don't have to cut it off for the print. So there's so many advantages. You can put video in. You can have additional links. You can have longer stories than you have, you know, the pages to be able to print. So there's so many advantages that the thought is that once people see it and they really see the breadth of information, that they would choose the digital version. So that's what we have seen the most success with, is everyone gets a digital version, and here's a way that if you, you know, must have a printed version, you have to jump through a hoop to get it.
Okay. And to that point, not necessarily jump through the hoop, but to the point of what Janelle was talking about with regard to the date. Because that would be my concern, is that something happens after you've printed the paper copy, but it's so important that we got to put it into the digital. And now someone hears about something and said, well, where did you hear that from? Well, I heard it from the newsletter. Well, it's not in my newsletter. So that's the kind of thing that I would be, I won't say concerned about, but how do you deal with that? Or have you had experience in dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, if we did this where we would have the email newsletter, the printed version is really just print-offs of the digital newsletter. So ideally, you're not printing a whole bunch of those. It really is just to satisfy the hopefully few people who decide that that's what they want. And then using social media, I mean, that's the other part of it too, is that the newsletter really isn't meant to act alone. I mean, you have other sources of sending out information, and the social media is a big part of that too, so that all of the newsletter articles would also be posted across all of the social media.
Okay, but that's a good point that you said it's print off, because if that's the case, then we're not going through a separate printing process.
That's correct.
So that's correct. That covers that.
It is not a separate expensive print. It is printing off that digital version.
Getting back to the analytics, and Janelle again mentioned something earlier when she talked about public information and marketing is two different things. And so we do have a need to disseminate just general information. But we also have a need, I think, to make sure that we're looking at whether or not the impressions are recognizable and how those impressions affect the marketability of what we're doing. So have you any experience in dealing with that?
Yeah, we work with a lot of clients that have very specific information that they are required by law to share. And so the email newsletter, what's nice about that is we can say exactly who it was sent to, whether they opened it or not. And so we pull those records to share with them so that they can see. So we work with, you know, whether it's insurance companies, financial services companies, higher ed companies, you know, city government all have these special rules. And this allows a way to show how many were sent, who, you know, how many were opened, so that you can have that proof versus a newsletter that, you know, you can say that you mailed it, but you can't say that they received it. So there is a little of that added benefit of the newsletter as well, of an email version.
All right, one last question. It's probably a tough question, maybe not. Based on your experience, how much do you think it would cost to employ a full-time, one-person PIO/marketing person?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the market and looking at the amount of experience that they would need to have to handle the social media and the writing of the newsletter and the video and photo and all of the things that you'd have to have, I would say it would cost between $75,000 and $125,000.
Oh, and that's probably not including insurance.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, salary and then benefits on top of that.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot that goes
with
that.
There is.
I just want to
what
hear
level?
You say what you think.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Good discussion. Ms. Davis, the...
item two like this.
One of the reasons why this came up and one of the reasons why we're talking about it tonight is because I guess about a year ago, we were really getting a lot of comments from residents that they weren't on social media and so they were missing out on stuff or their newsletter didn't get there. And so I understand for those, you know, of us who aren't on social media or aren't watching Facebook anymore or Instagram, they miss out on some of the events and the paper copy comes in at a time frame where the event has already passed or something like that. So the email newsletter is very attractive to me for that reason. And I like that we have unlimited amounts of, or not unlimited, but we have more, we don't pay per page, you know,
correct.
We can do more information in there. And staff can refer our residents to that email, help them get signed up for that email. That way they don't miss, you know, they don't miss information. That's really what our goal here was to be as clear as possible and get as much information out to residents as we can. So I personally, I think our staff does a great job already with the social media. Personally, I think their graphics are great, you know, from what I see. And I'm not, you know, a super active social media user, but from what I see on the reels, it's all very well done and everything. I think where our residents may have some trouble is it's great to know the Halloween events we've got coming up. It's great to know the wine festival. But, I mean, what's going on with Brockwood? What's going on with down here at the park, Arboretum? Why is this closed? Mm-hmm. Our bike lanes are about to go in. You know, stuff like that could really just be public information. Mm-hmm. you know.
What streets are going to be worked on next?
Yeah. What streets are going to be worked on next? When are mine going to be micro-sealed? Stuff like that. So social media is great for the events. Hey, be sure to buy your tickets to this. But more news.
Right.
Hard news is kind of what we're
timely.
Hard news. Does that resonate?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I would say though that social media can also be an opportunity to share information.
Absolutely.
Even faster than a newsletter. But yes,
100%.
A newsletter. I mean, and you can share information in different formats. So not everyone wants to read a large article.
100%.
So we can have a nice long article for those that want more information. But we could also have a video, or we could have some audio or things like that, so that people could find the content in whatever format it best suits them.
Exactly right. Because I think more folks have email addresses,
yes,
proportionate to social media.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Two questions.
Yes, Councilwoman.
One, who does the video? Who prepares that? Who makes that available?
Yeah.
Where does that cost fall?
In our discussion with the city team, they mentioned that they have photo and video available for events and for different things, so there would be a library of that photo and video. And then for newsletters, if there are events, we have a photo and video team as well, and so that would be included in part of it. So it would be shared responsibility, because we know that you have photo and video that is high quality that we can make use of, and then if we need to fill in, then we would fill in. If we're working on a certain article and we know that we don't have photos of something, well, are there photos that we can get, or do we need to use photos from a previous event that you've done?
Is that an additional cost?
No, that would already be included.
That would be included.
Yes, that's included in what we've
okay.
put for the newsletter.
My other question is to you, Adam. You mentioned that the staff bring all this stuff together, and we've got a good product now. We're looking for bringing it up to date and making it more, user-friendly, exciting. What does that do for our staff? Does it take any pressure off from them? Are they still going to have to be doing what they've been doing?
Yeah, well, two answers. Yes, I think it does alleviate some of the pressure and the time that it takes to prepare all of these things. But I think that's where we would, better word to say it, just dump the information into their portal and they can put it together. Of course, we can still give direction, and for example, public safety, if there's a fire, God forbid, at 3 a.m, they still have the autonomy to get on and post breaking things and kind of run their platform as they see fit. But as far as the mainstream messaging, we believe that it was the intent of the council to just streamline logos, graphics, which we feel like we've done.
Yeah.
But if you just really wanted to polish up the great work that they've been doing, that's where you hire a consultant.
But it sounds like we could just do the newsletter. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct.
Okay.
You could just do the newsletter, yes.
It wasn't just for me, it wasn't the graphics being different. It was the content.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Being
not consistent.
Being consistent.
Yeah, the language.
Really, really the public information,
Okay. Again, that's where it was very ambiguous.
I know. I'm glad we're talking
so
about
we
it.
We wanted
now.
to.
I guess what I'm looking at is cost versus benefit. If I was sitting down to do this as a project, I would also be putting in here, this is what we save in money with our staff not having to do this, which mm-hmm. would then translate to expense.
I can sit down, Brenda. We can probably run some numbers that will make more sense. Off the cuff, I wouldn't be comfortable.
Well, and
giving it to you, but
I realize that that's a soft. That would be a soft number. It'd be very difficult to have hard numbers on it.
Yeah.
But just theoretically looking at it and saying, okay, here's where the benefit is, and here we're saving some cost or time. Time is always worth money. And how is this going to impact our staff?
Well, I know when Jennifer would build out everything, it doesn't get done in a day. She's got to run down all the department heads and, hey, what about this? Did you get this? I need this. So she's stopping other people from doing what they need to do outside of the newsletter. So it can be. It just depends on, again, because we're limited with how much we can get out. Sometimes it's a stretch to find information, and other times it's overload and you gotta, what do we gotta leave out?
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends, but with an electronic version, we wouldn't have that constraint.
with any agreement, you'd like to know how long is it? How long is the numbers guaranteed? Is it a month to month? What are we dealing with there?
For the newsletter, there's two part. One is to create the template. So to create the template of the newsletter, get everything set up, and then it's on a month-to-month basis. So it would require a 30-day cancellation because we'd already be into the next project and the next month, but otherwise it'd be month-to-month.
And over the last several years, have you increased your rates much?
Yeah, I mean, we increase our rates just dependent on, you know, inflation like everyone else. But what we put together is a 12-month, so this would be good for 12 months, and then we would look at it again after that. Okay. We don't usually increase rates much more than, I mean, inflationary rates.
Sure.
And 12-month rate stays the same for the 12-month period,
or
the 30-day
cancellation.
That's a fair. You're fair.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, but Seed House is a local company. You're not,
yes.
Not from
Dallas. Local. I'm an 11-year Woodway resident.
Awesome. Oh, even better.
And awesome. I am a graduate of the Citizens Police Academy.
He is.
Oh.
I'm a student right there.
We're
going
to work on other things, too. Yeah.
I was looking at the letterhead, and I said, oh, local? That's what we want. You know,
and
that's
then Waco, 36 years.
Yeah. That's good. Awesome. Okay, great. Last question for you, sir.
Yes,
sir. And Ms. Davis, I know you want to sit down, so
sorry.
If you don't mind just saying your name and your address, please.
Sure. Kathy Davis, 1509 Badger Ranch Boulevard in Woodway.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. My question to the city manager was asking if we wanted to increase this budget, if we could use HOP money to pay for the additional expense. And just as a reminder, before you guys think I'm asking for more money, HOP money is not citizen paid.
Yes.
So we have funds.
Well, and then wouldn't it use our current newsletter budget?
Yes. I wanted to make one other point that we have $25,000 budgeted for this year, but this digital newsletter will not go into effect until January. So you're already 3 months in because the November, December newsletter will hit mailboxes this week.
Okay.
So there is a savings in that part. And then three of our social media sites, so the Arboretum and Discover Woodway and the Pavilion would all fall under the HOP funds. So that's taking
awesome.
Out quite a bit of
yeah.
that. So it will work out. The original proposal that she gave us was actually going to be right at $24,000 for this year, even though we would be – that's for the social media part of it. So – just to let you know, that does all fall in budget. And then the newsletter, that will work as well because we're budgeted for $15,000 already.
Gotcha.
So I think I misunderstood as we were going on. I thought we shifted to really focusing on having your efforts mostly be on the newsletter
mm-hmm.
and having our staff continue their work on their own social media.
You can do both.
If we wanted to do two newsletters a month, you know, that would be more.
Mm-hmm.
If we wanted them to help us with some of our messaging on social media, that would be more. So I was just asking if we needed to increase the 25.
No, I know, but I'm saying I thought from what is presented here to us in her scope, as we were talking, I felt like we started to shift the scope. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. That are we moving towards, because I'm also hearing you say, it might feel more difficult for our staff members to have someone else managing the social media?
No, ma'am, if that's what I can bring on this.
Okay.
It would alleviate some.
It would alleviate. Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
All good.
Okay.
I think it would definitely be a partnership, and that's what we discussed in our meeting, and so they would be helping us out, but we still have, like I said, the autonomy to come in and meet with Seed House, we said every other week? Every other week to give them the content and we work together.
Okay, yep. Great.
Sounds like it'd be a labor saver.
I think that would
save
be good.
Time.
Yeah. I also wanted to point out one other thing for anyone who does not get the newsletter. It is always on the website, woodwaytexas.gov. Go to
awesome.
Discover, go to newsletter, and we put all of them on there. So I know that sometimes in the mail it might get lost, but it's always online too.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Manager, what do you need from us? Do you need us to pick an option, or can we just ask you to...
I think you can direct me direct me to proceed if that's the direction you want to go. With, let's see, we got a dollar amount. We got 25 and 15, and if there's any remainder over that, we got 3 out of our 7 that are hot fund eligible. So,
okay.
Do we need to give an exact number?
It gives some parameters on how far to go, but what I'm thinking is if we just wanted to do like one newsletter or two newsletter, you know, 2 a month, that would change the price just for the newsletters. And so I don't know. It's hard to nail down
the conversation. That's why I put the proposed expenditure to be determined, because we don't have those accounts in front of us. Mr. Shaw, are you comfortable with us proceeding?
My recommendation would be to put a package together and bring it back for approval at the next meeting.
Yeah, that's good.
So give him the authority to city manager to negotiate.
any action now, just let city staff work to bring back a proposal next week, and then y'all can thumbs up or thumbs down.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
No action taken.
No action.
That'll give you ACM time to get together with them and figure something out, figure out a game plan, and then we can get to it.
Excellent. Thank you. Sounds
good to me. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Sounds like
glad you're a Woodway citizen, too.
Yeah.
If you had said that first, it would have been so easy.
All right, Council, we're moving on to the consent agenda at this time. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any other city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. You have the consent agenda in front of you. Are there any items that you would like removed for separate discussion?
No.
Okay, there being none, we'll move to item number 7, which is action on the consent agenda. So do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Thank you.
Ladies first.
Okay, ladies first. Got it. Thank you, Councilwoman. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as stated. Item number 8 is our executive session. Notice is hereby given that a closed meeting will be held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.072 that authorizes a governmental body to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property if deliberation in an open meeting would have a detrimental effect on the position of the governmental body in negotiations with a third person. All right, we will recess the general meeting at 6:31. And go into executive session. Zoom our meeting at 6:55 p.m. So we're resuming right now. All right, moving on to item number 9. This is the city manager's report. So Mr. Nylett, over to you for the updates you have for us.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just some brief ones. Saturday, we had between 500 and 600 people show up for Cops and Kids at the event. So it was good event, well attended. A lot of parents complimented, and the All Hallows Groove was well attended as well. They had Suede that played out there, and without incident. So,
was that more cars than last year?
I don't recall how many we had last year, but it was steady for the entire time.
Awesome.
Our hands and arms were numb by the time it was over with. Also, the shared path on estates, of course, you'll all know as you came here, it's still underway, but it is on schedule. The contractor wanted this time, you know, originally we had a mix issue that wasn't to the spec that we called for. Then the next thing was, well, we're going to manually line out these stripes. We said, absolutely not. So that is coming back. The engineers and the subcontractor back and forth over semantics. But in the end, what is spec'd is this large machine that's going to do really beautiful straight lines, which is what we're paying for. So
unlike Santa Fe's walked her path.
Will you fix that?
I noticed. It was a little.
Yes. Yes.
And ACM Rogers will be filling in for me at the next meeting, our November 18th meeting. At that council meeting, I will be on vacation. So she will be up here in my spot.
What date did you say it was?
Did I say April?
You it said November, April. I thought.
Yeah,
I'm going, it's
November.
December.
No, November.
November. Yeah, November 18th is what I have.
So skip a month.
One meeting.
Yeah.
One meeting.
In November.
No, two meetings back to back.
That's right.
Well,
one
yes.
Night.
That's
right. One night, Councilwoman. One night. That's what you yes.
Two meetings.
And I would have been here for that, but it was a calendar error on my part. I was trying to plan everything out, secured flights, did all the stuff, and then learned, no, it's... I'm 18.
No problem.
Yeah. Yes.
Happy to have you.
Yeah. I lost a month.
Yeah.
And I wanted to brag on Jennifer publicly. Some of you may recall Ms. Rogers first began her TMCC program a while back. She has completed her Texas Municipal Clerk Certification Program through the University of North Texas and has now earned her TRMC designation. Mm-hmm. The program allows students a window of 3 to 10 years to earn the designation. Mrs. Rogers completed that in 2.5 years. This program consists of 16 modules, 8 seminars, and multiple exams. So congratulations.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
Ms. Redden, last issue, she met with TxDOT on site. Under the Pogue 84 underpass for the Keep Texas Beautiful grant that she applied for and we secured back in 2022. Mm-hmm. TxDOT has now come out on site. That amount was $160,000 to beautify the TxDOT right of way. So we were kind of limited on what we had to work with, but we've done some improvements down there before. And this will just add to them. What we've selected is a lighting project idea. And we're trying to find, they tentatively have approved our design pickout, which is kind of some late 19th century, early 20th century lamps, like old iron lanterns that are not mounted to the structure. They're standalone. So they should be, we hope, aesthetically pleasing. If it's not, blame me because it was mainly my idea, and they let me have it. So,
all right.
Blame you. Where's it going?
We blame
where's
you anyway.
It sounds awesome.
Where's it going?
At Pogue in 84. Under the
underpass where you turn.
Oh, that'll look really nice.
Red bricks and
very romantic.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I drive under it every day.
I don't know if I'll be walking under there at
certain times. Oh, yeah. No, it's great. You go to the nursery over there?
Yeah, but on the walking, that brings me to, step. It's not part of this update, but in that same conversation, they have some nice-looking red bricks that have been laid down under the structure, and there's some accessibility grants that are going to become open in the near future. So big trucks have not fully made the turn. They've warped those nice bricks. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity for that through grants. And also, TxDOT has told us they will install a drip system, separate but not on the city's dime, to do any kind of low maintenance planting or things like that. We can. Seems like a lot for under a bridge, but we.
It's a pretty bridge.
It's one way we try to make every part of it.
It's a great day night.
It's a busy area too.
Yeah.
Pretty,
so
some picnic tables.
That is all I have, Mayor and Council.
Yeah. John and I are at an impasse on the romantic nature of things, so we're going to move on.
I got to beat. I've been married much longer than you.
It's true. Okay. Let's move on before we get into trouble with our lives here. All right. So that was City Manager. Thank you, Mr. Nyla. Congratulations, ACM. Really, really proud of you. Great job.
Yeah, great.
Number 10 is our City Council report, so if anybody has any updates from their groups, love to hear it.
Do we have planning and zoning coming up?
November
will have some.
Great.
Well, there was a Parks and Rec
this past week. I was not able to make it, unfortunately. But from what I understand, there was a good conversation about what we have some new people that come onto the park board, so about what, you know, their responsibilities are and those kinds of things. But I had asked to put that item on there because I wanted to get an idea of what they think that they can contribute to the park system and how they can kind of make this work. My experience has been, you know, using in parks, using a lot of community activity to beautify the parks and things of that nature, both in cash contributions as well as in kind. So I said, well, you know, how do we look at the system here in Woodway and maybe come up with some creative ways in which we can do some things in Woodway? And I think that they were pretty excited about, you know, trying to come up with some ideas of how to take some ownership, a little bit more ownership, if you will, of the park system, not to tell us what to do, but to give us some really good ideas of what could be done, per se, that kind of thing. So unfortunately, I was working on something I had to get done at night, and I totally lost track of time and wasn't able to make it. So
I was there, and they did a good job. They're really a good group.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, John and Janelle. Mr. Keeston, anything from the youth? All right. Thank you. Lots of great things happening. Happy Halloween, everybody, this week. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. We are adjourned at 7:04. Thank you all.